3 weeks ago when Russia first invaded Ukraine, I didn't watch the news. I kept up with the news reports online. But then when the Ukraine people began standing up for themselves with such remarkable courage and resolve and resilience, when they placed themselves in front of Russian tanks, when they trained citizens to use artillery, when they blockaded roads and switched around the road signs to confuse the Russians, when they stood so consistently in their own power with such fortitude and resistance, I started watching. And then I was hooked. For the past 10 days or so, I've actually been pretty riveted to the coverage of the war. And now the images, the scenes of the bombed out buildings, of bloody civilians being pulled from the rubble, of pregnant women and young children, all children dying, mass graves. All of these scenes of such horror, including a valiant but ultimately futile effort to try to keep the Russians from bombing shelters like one particular theater where there were over 1,000 women and children huddled in the basement. And they went so far as to write on the land outside of the building in Russian, "Children," to keep that bombing from happening, but to no avail. You've seen these scenes. For me, they have become overwhelming. And perhaps you've had an experience similar to mine in how you are processing this horrible series of events. Every day, we are bearing witness to a steady stream of horror and grief, all the while feeling a sense of helplessness within ourselves. In the face of such atrocities, we ask ourselves, what can I do? What can I do to help people suffering so much on the other side of the world? Well, three things come to mind. The first is to moderate our intake of news. And I say that because it is so important to not become immobilized by it. The second thing that we can do is to give to these wonderful humanitarian organizations, and there are so many right now, that are providing aid and support to the people of Ukraine. And it feels great to make a donation like that, I will tell you. And the third thing that we can do, of course, that we can always do, is pray. Anytime, day or night, we can pray. And yet often prayer feels like not enough, doesn't it? It feels so indirect, sort of removed from the immediate crisis. It may even feel kind of soft, possibly even meek. But if prayer is meek, it is a different kind of meek. The kind referenced by Jesus in Matthew 5:5, when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Wow. You know, when you first read that, to be honest, it sounds a little naive, doesn't it? Like, really, Jesus? The meek are going to prevail? More often, it seems like the bullies are winning and the meek are getting crushed. But Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. His message was, do not be fooled by outer appearances. And he drew his words for that beatitude from Psalm 67, a psalm of David, which is called an exhortation to patience and trust. And here is what it says in part. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. That is from Psalms. in the scripture, meek does not mean timid or docile. Rather, it conveys this great spiritual strength. In his book, The Sermon on the Mount, New Thought leader and teacher Emmett Fox, having researched all of the translations, says that meek means, quote, a combination of open-mindedness, faith in God, and the realization that the will of God for us is always something more joyous and vital and interesting than anything we can imagine, unquote. We can think of meekness as great expectation. Great expectation. So the beatitude becomes, blessed are those who live in great expectation, for they will inherit the earth. And earth in this context does not mean our physical planet. It means our outer experience. It means what we manifest. So you can see how this all fits together. When you live with great expectation, you begin to manifest on the outer what you are holding in your mind. Through the power of faith and open-mindedness and great expectation, we can become masters of our own lives and our destiny. This was the message of this beatitude, and Jesus shared it in order to bring his listeners, who were mainly poor, oppressed Jews, a sense of hope and empowerment to essentially bolster their faith. Today, we too need faith, hope, and empowerment, don't we? We're all looking for light in the darkness. And in that search, we can be guided by Jesus and other spiritual masters. Mahatma Gandhi once said, when I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall. Think of it, always. And he's right. Coming at it from a slightly different angle, when we realize that so much of the cause of this war is ego-based, it's based on power and greed, Eckhart Tolle says in his best-selling book, A New Earth, the ego is destined to dissolve, and all its ossified structures, whether they be religious or other institutions, corporations, or governments, will disintegrate from within. No matter how deeply entrenched they appear to be, the most rigid structures, the most impervious to change, will collapse first. Wow. God calling. We can hasten the disintegration of these ego structures and the rise of human consciousness through our own spiritual work, especially prayer. In prayer, we affirm the truth, not the truth of the outer, but the truth of the inner, the truth beyond temporary appearances. We invoke the divine power within us, because we are by nature divine, and we do have divine power within us to overcome any obstacles. In unity, when we pray, we do not so much send our prayers out and upward to a super being God. Rather, our prayers are turned within. We connect with the presence of God, and if that word throws you, substitute spirit, the divine, the infinite, the one mind, whatever works for you. But through prayer, we connect with that presence within us. And then when we are centered in that spirit, we attune to a higher vibration. You feel that, right? You feel that even when we come together here, even this morning, we have already felt that shift in vibration within us. Not only do we feel it within us, we begin to emanate it out to others. We basically create a sacred field of energy that others can feel even at a distance. This is why when someone is hurting, simply holding them in your heart and loving them without saying a word makes a difference. So prayer shifts our energy, it raises our vibration, and it broadens our perspective. It works. It works. And it works even more when we pray together. During World War II, an advisor to Prime Minister Winston Churchill organized a group of people to stop whatever they were doing at a certain time each night to pray for peace, safety, and security. And so they did. Every day at that time, they would pray together. And it was as if the city stood still. Such was the power of prayer. And soon the bombings stopped. Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore believed in the power of prayer, and they particularly had strong faith in the power of group prayer. In the late 1800s, they began hosting prayer groups in their own home every evening. And later, they began giving constituents all across the country a certain thought or affirmation to hold in United Prayer at a certain hour. Today, Unity Worldwide Ministries is sort of continuing that same idea by orchestrating a global prayer for Ukraine. UWM is inviting people of different faiths and nationalities across the world to pray each day at a designated hour for the peace, well-being, and security of our countries, for an end to the problems that oppress, and for spirit-guided decisions of leaders around the world. We in the U.S. are to pause and pray at 6 p.m. each day, all time zones, even if it's only for a minute. Hold the consciousness, send forth the intention. UWM, by the way, is also giving half of its monthly tithe to organizations supporting Ukraine. Other cool things are happening like this too. The Transcendental Meditation Movement is coordinating morning and evening meditation so that thousands of TM meditators around the world are meditating at the same time. They have even placed in the western mountains, in the mountains of western Ukraine, 45 meditators, and they've placed 80 in Russia. Their role is to awaken a coherent field of transcendental consciousness for themselves and for their countries. And they're being very scientific about this. The U.S. director of the Transcendental Meditation Organization says, to have the maximum calming impact, research shows that peace-creating groups should be the square root of 1% of a population. We believe that building toward that number, 700 meditators in Ukraine and 1,200 in Russia, will help reduce tensions and enable a peaceful resolution. Finally, HeartMath Institute is on the same track. They are sponsoring a global synchronized practice of care and compassionate coherence for Ukraine and for Russia. Their president, Sarah Childry, writes, "All love counts, even if we can't always see the way it helps." The important thing, the vitally important thing, is that we keep praying, that we keep meditating, that we keep this vibration up, even when we can't see visible results. Because whether we realize it or not, when we do, we are helping to achieve a critical mass for global awakening. Some of you may have heard of a spiritual teacher named Patricia Cota Robles. She says that an unstoppable shift occurs when 51% of the energy vibration of what we want to create, when 51% of the energy vibration aligns with what we want to create, in this case, it would be peace. And she says this, very scientific, quote, when an electron is increasing in vibration and 51% of its vibration reaches a higher frequency, an unstoppable shift occurs and the remaining 49% is instantly absorbed into the new vibration and the entire electron ascends into the higher frequency. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's very cool. We can raise the vibration on planet Earth through prayer. Now, when I say that, I'm sure many of you are having this thought. I'm not sure how to pray. I'm not sure I'm doing it right. I'm not sure I'm good enough at it. So let me just say, despite common belief, there is no one right way to pray. And no one is grading you on this. Prayer does not always consist of putting the hands together and bowing the head and saying the right and perfect words. No, there are as many ways to pray as there are people. Often we are praying when we don't even realize it, when we spontaneously ask God for help, when we hold a thought that inspires us, when we feel compassion, when we feel gratitude, when we wonder about God or even wonder about the meaning of life, when we make the effort to turn within and become still and centered and connect with that higher presence by whatever name we may call it, all of these are types of prayer. Singing and making music can be a type of prayer. as we experience every Sunday. Meditation is prayer. Gardening, hiking, walking, all can be forms of prayer. Anytime we lift our hearts and minds to God, we are praying. We know that it is happening when we feel that energy shift within us, and that energy that we are then feeling is automatically contributing to a rise in global consciousness. But our impact can be even greater when we become very clear and specific in sending forth an intention for the well-being of others and for ourselves. Ultimately, the important thing is not how we pray, but that we pray. Right? And you know what? The whole world needs prayer right now, including all of us. After all we've been through and are still going through, we need our own compassion and care and kindness. We forget sometimes that prayer soothes us, that it comforts us, that it bolsters us. It allows us to unburden ourselves when we feel sad or angry or stressed or frustrated. Truly, prayer equips us to keep on keeping on, right? To keep going, to keep believing, to have great expectations. So why pray? Simple answer, to transform ourselves. To transform ourselves so that we make wise choices in how we can better save the world. And in so doing, we unite our prayer power, our prayer energy with all those who are making a positive difference in the world. Listen, we can be motivated by outer appearances, but let us not be fooled by them. Consciousness is rising and it cannot be stopped. Will you say that with me together? Consciousness is rising and it cannot be stopped. Even in the midst of such incredible pain and horror right now, some beautiful and amazing things are happening. The free world is uniting in unprecedented ways. Ordinary people are doing extraordinary things. Innovations abound for how to reach out and help people in need. So let us do our part however we are led, but let us do this. Let us remain strong in our faith and open to God, and let us live in great expectation. For all these reasons and more, let us pray. Thank you. Let's turn now to our meditation. For our meditation today, I'm actually borrowing what they're doing in HeartMath. If you think about this, think about thousands of people around the world engaging in this every day. Beautiful, beautiful meditation. So I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Take a nice, big, deep, cleansing breath in. Release and let it go. And truly let yourself relax into this moment, just setting aside any busy thoughts or stress. Breathe. Breathe. God is here. God is in you. All is well. I invite you now to turn your attention in this gentle breathing to your heart space and to activate the love in you. Perhaps think of the love and care that you feel for a person or a pet, nature, or something. Just bring it into your mind's eye and into your heart space. This tremendous love that you feel for whoever or whatever it is. This helps to open our hearts and warm them. We begin radiating feelings of love. Feeling that love wash over us. take a moment to send our deepest care and compassion to all those being directly affected by the Russia-Ukraine war. This includes the people of Ukraine, soldiers and refugees, many people in Russia who are saddened with pain in their hearts regarding the invasion, many other people throughout the planet. Send them love, care, and compassion from your heart to theirs in this moment. And now send compassion and gratitude to the people and countries taking in millions of refugees. See them calm, see them spirit-filled. Send them some love and grace. And send heart that those who support this war might open their hearts to the pain the war is causing and realize the setback it is inflicting on nations and the world community. Send that intention forth. Now hold in your mind's eye and in your prayerful consciousness, seeing our deep heart's care contributing to a global heart awakening of collective compassion that's on the rise as a result of this war. See our hearts uniting. See an awakening quickening. See us reaching that critical mass. We leave behind the old paradigm of war and violence and emerge into a new era of peace. Now envision that humanity will realize that war is a thing of the past and that we need to come together in the heart to work out whatever is before us. Remain here in your heart space, beaming this love energy around the world and also to yourself for a few moments in the silence. Forward from this meditative time with renewed commitment to pray, to meditate, to take those times to connect with the divine for the benefit of those who are suffering, for ourselves, for our entire planet. We know that our prayers make a difference. We send them forth with great expectation and great love. And for the power of humanity coming together to shift consciousness and our part in that, we are so grateful. Thank you, God. So it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding love.
right. Pull it together here. It's the time in our service for the sharing of our love offering in support of all the good work that we do here, the people that we are growing into, the ways in which we shine our divine light.